And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the controversy going on with Joshua Harris, author of the best-selling book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. This has been making headlines all over the news for several days now, as many of you, I'm sure, are aware. We'll look at several headlines. Let's just look at Newsweek. This was from a few days ago. The Newsweek headline says, quote, "Purity expert Josh Harris announces, 'I am not a Christian,' apologizes to LGBT community." So apparently Josh Harris, many years after he published the best-selling book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, that I think had a positive impact on many people in the Christian community. I remember reading it many years ago, before I got married, and it most certainly influenced my worldview in terms of how I viewed dating. And then, of course, for me, years later, doing the research into the influence of the Kinsey reports and things like that, and how that really changed the worldview of America. But prior to World War II, the views on relationships and dating and all of that were very, very different. There was a kind of respect, not a kind of respect, a very a strongly defended respect where men and women were concerned, and it was understood that you maintain your virtue until you find the person that you're going to marry. And so I always thought that this book by Joshua Harris was a great book, really kind of blowing the lid off the modern worldly idea about relationships where people are just going around with one person after another and thinking, well, at some point they'll get married after they've run around with 10 or 20 people. And it's just a terrible way to pursue relationships, and it's entirely unbiblical. So this is why I always appreciated the book. Of course, it's been many years since I read it. It's been a very long time. I read it when we were back out in California. But now Joshua Harris has come out. He's divorcing his wife of many years. He and his wife are getting a divorce. So he's getting a divorce. He announces he's no longer a Christian, and to top it all off, he's issuing some kind of apology to the homosexual community, the LGBTQ community. Salon.com says, quote, "Christian author Joshua Harris is sorry for the damage he did." The damage he did. Now, Salon is a big-time LGBT sexual perversion promoting website. There's no question. Very, very left-wing. But anyway, this is what they say in their article. Joshua Harris is sorry for the damage he did. And it says, quote, "Purity culture advocate Joshua Harris has kissed his old harmful beliefs goodbye. What is his apology worth?" And it says, "Last weekend, Joshua Harris, the megachurch pastor and author of several Christian relationship books, posted a lengthy note on Instagram in which he apologized to the LGBTQ community and said that he is, quote, not a Christian any longer." And here's the statement from Joshua Harris, quote, "I have lived in repentance for the past several years, repenting of my self-righteousness, my fear-based approach to life, the teaching of my books, my views of women in the church, and my approach to parenting, to name a few," Harris wrote. but I specifically want to add to this list now, to the LGBTQ plus community. Now, what's that plus? We all know what the plus is. The LGBTQ plus community, I want to say that I am sorry for the views that I taught in my books and as a pastor regarding sexuality. He said, quote, I regret standing against marriage equality for not affirming your place in the church and for any ways that my writing and speaking contributed to a culture of exclusion and bigotry. Exclusion and bigotry. Wow. Adopting all of the social justice, Marxist lies and propaganda that he has been seduced by. Clearly he has been brainwashed by them. Now, of course, I've been reading the comments online for the past couple of days, and people are rightly discussing whether or not, you know, was he ever a Christian? I think the right view is that no, he was not a Christian. It's important to remember, this is what gets us into the very controversial issues about salvation and what does it mean to be saved. A person is saved when they are a born-again believer in Christ, when they receive the Spirit of God and they become a new creature. And this is something that is accomplished by the power of God. He who began a good work in you will see it through to the day of Jesus Christ. It's because God began that good work in you. That's why that work is going to be accomplished unto the end. But we also have to remember that there are those who try to join themselves to Jesus, as we read about in John 2:24. John chapter 2, verse 24. In verse 23, it says, quote, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And then it says, verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Notice, they believed in him, but he did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So just because people believe, it depends on how they believe and why they believe. They saw the miracles, okay. But did they believe unto salvation? Because you read Mark chapter 4 talks about those who for a while believe, but in time of testing, they fall away. And it says, these have not root in themselves. Who is the root? Jesus says, I am the root. Christ is the root of Jesse. So the root is having the Spirit of God so that you can say, as Paul did, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Okay? So you read Mark chapter 4, and when Jesus is describing the parable of the sower, he's explaining it in verses 15, 16. He says, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And then verse 16, he says, and these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Okay? So, they believe for a time, but they're not able to endure persecution. What is Josh Harris, what's he describing here? Oh, he has to repent now of as taking a stand for the Bible, for the Word of God, and now he's being persecuted by all the social justice people, the people who are saying you're a bigot, you're intolerant, and all this other kind of stuff. He's facing, notice he's not even being thrown in prison. They're not beating the guy. They're not stretching him out on the rack. He's not being burned at the stake. He's not having to go through any of that. He's just dealing with social pressure from the media and people calling Christians bigots and intolerance and all this other kind of stuff. It's soft persecution. And even in the midst of that, he turns away. He turns away. Now, does that mean he was once saved and he lost his salvation? No, of course not. Because we don't believe that a new creature in Christ who is reborn by the power of God, we don't believe they're going to be uncreated somehow. No, Jesus says, I know my sheep know my voice. I give them eternal life and they shall never die. So we believe the promises of God where eternal life is concerned. But just because somebody believes for a time, that doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus is going to commit himself unto them, as we read in John 2 and 24. Remember, Jesus said of the apostles, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? John chapter 6 says Jesus knew from the beginning those who believe not and who should betray him. So, known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world, and the scripture says the Lord knows them that are his. God also says in the Old Testament that he's going to shake the heavens and the earth so that that which can be shaken will be shaken, and that that which cannot be shaken will remain. And I believe that's what we're seeing now in the Christian community, because you have all these ministers and so-called Christians and so on that are just they're like rotten apples on the tree, and the tree is being shaken and the rotten apples are falling out. That's what's happening. We also have in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay, this is what's happening with Joshua Harris. He has given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. To go and apologize to the gay community, to apologize to the gays of all people, the gays who are this predatory community that are preying upon children in our country, trying to pervert and corrupt them, the gays who have killed over 700,000 people in our country through the AIDS epidemic. They've killed millions of people. I've seen different numbers, but right now, based on the numbers that are out there, more than 35 million people globally have died from the AIDS epidemic, an epidemic that from its beginning was traced to homosexual practices, unlawful behavior practiced by the homosexual community. And now, defended as though as though the Christian world has been full of all this bigotry and intolerance and this kind of thing, and have these dangerous beliefs, we're told. What dangerous beliefs? No, the danger is practicing this behavior unrestrained, and what happens? People are dying left and right. Just look up the HIV, the AIDS epidemic, where it says HIV/AIDS is a global pandemic. As of 2017, approximately 36.9 million people are infected with HIV globally. There were about 940,000 deaths from AIDS in 2017. 940,000 just in 1 year. Now that's globally, but 940,000 people from a pandemic that began with the homosexual community. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We are going to talk more about this when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the situation with Joshua Harris. Our last program that we did, just to point that out, on the Jesuits and communism. Now in their America magazine, they are openly supporting communism, making the Catholic case, as it was called in the article. And of course, they give tacit approval. Somebody else wrote the article and they publish it. And then they say, well, why did we publish this article? They do this kind of, it's just how they do things. But of course, as I mentioned, we have our audio CD, The Jesuits and Marxism, Weapon of the Counter-Reformation. If you understand that the Counter-Reformation is to overturn everything that the Reformation did, including develop things like widespread publication of the Bible, government based upon the laws of God, that's where God-given rights come from. These rights then lead you to an understanding of freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, and the right to bear arms, the individual freedoms that we've had in this country for several hundred years. But those freedoms, as we're going to show in our upcoming film, The True Christian History of America, those freedoms were developed for hundreds of years before the American Revolution. And I think, of course, it's very, very important that we reclaim that, because not knowing that is causing many believers to let these things slip, because we were convinced in school that these ideas really came from deists and pagans and, you know, the Enlightenment thinkers and Freemasons and all this other kind of stuff, that they're the ones who developed these core beliefs. But as we're going to show in our upcoming film, you can trace the very foundation of it to John Wycliffe, who translated his Bible in 1384 and said, "This Bible is for a government of the people, by the people, and for the people." Because Wycliffe believed that the common people have a right to be governed according to the laws of God. And that is the conflict that we're in right now. If we were being governed by God's laws, there would be no Marxism, and there would be no danger of Sharia. We wouldn't be arguing about LGBTQ so-called rights and all the rest of this stuff. If we were governed according to God's law, chances are the AIDS epidemic would never have broken out. You look at what happened as they began to decriminalize homosexuality in the 1950s and 60s. By 1973, they declared through the APA that homosexuality was normal. And then by 1981, you have the outbreak of AIDS. Now, according to the website MFAR, mfar.org, where they have worldwide AIDS statistics, in 2017, 1.8 million people became newly infected with HIV. It's in 2017. It says, quote, "Since the beginning of the pandemic, 77.3 million people have contracted HIV and 35.4 million have died of AIDS-related illnesses." So 77 million have contracted HIV. Think about that. The communists killed about 100 million or more than 100 million in the 20th century alone. The AIDS virus broke out in 1981. And from then till now, 77 million people have contracted the epidemic. 35 million have died, at least according to this report. And so who needs to be apologizing to who? Christians should be apologizing to the gays? No, the homosexual community owe a huge, gigantic apology to America and the rest of the world. And Hollywood and mainstream media, these propaganda so-called journalists who are really just homosexual cheerleaders, that's all they are. They give no objective reporting about homosexuality at all. They don't represent both sides. They only represent one side, and it's propaganda. It's Marxist propaganda. That's all it is. There's no objectivity. There's no let's investigate the damaging influence, etc. None of that. It's assumed, oh, this behavior is wonderful, and anybody who says otherwise should be completely condemned as a bigot. And why? Because ultimately, what they want to do is legalize pedophilia. Now, I've said this for years. This is part of the reason we made our film, The Kinsey Syndrome, which right now is causing shockwaves, we are told, in Poland. I've been getting emails from Dr. Judith Reisman in Poland. It's making shockwaves. It's stirring up controversy. Parents and people who believe in traditional values are standing up and trying to fight back against what they recognize is the willful and deliberate attempt to corrupt their children through the education system. And a lot of it can be traced to Alfred Kinsey. It's what our film is about. But all that to say, the point is that the Christian community most certainly does not owe any sort of an apology to the gay community. This is absurd. But this is the kind of thing that we hear sometimes even from pastors who get involved in excessive pandering to the gay community, where it's almost like they're apologizing for what the Bible says, which is not at all what we're called to do. We have to recognize that biblically nowhere do we have any example of this kind of pandering towards sodomites. The only thing that comes close is Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah trying to negotiate with the sodomites there and offering them his virgin daughters instead of the two men who were really angels who appeared as men. And of course, what do? They just despised him that much more. You see, the people who do the pandering and this kind of thing, it really doesn't have any impact on the gays. The gays will just trample you into the ground that much more. That's why Jesus says, "Cast not your pearls before swine, lest they trample the pearls and you with them." These are people who have no interest in obeying God. They are given over to this unnatural, immoral behavior. I'm not saying that we don't reach out to them. I'm not saying that we shouldn't call them to repentance. We should. We have to let them know what the Word of God says. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God. This behavior is clearly condemned in the Scripture. And the problem is, it sounds like Josh Harris, that his faith was not really grounded in the Word of God, that he was not convicted that the Bible is the Word of God. Because if you have that conviction, if you have it by the Spirit of God, then you're not going to turn away from it. I don't believe you will. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "How is it that you cannot hear my word, even because you are not of my sheep? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I give them eternal life, and they shall never die. Neither is any able to take them from my hand. My Father who gave them to me is above all, and none is able to take from my Father's hand," the Lord says. So that's ultimately what these things are about. There is the voice of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and those of us who believe him are going to follow him, and they're going to follow the Word of God. But ultimately, those who are not of the sheepfold, John says they went out from us because they were not of us. Now, the way that Joshua Harris explained it, he said, quote, "By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian." And he says, "Many people tell me that there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now." Now, what does that mean? Well, he did say specifically, quote, "I am not a Christian." But he says, "By all the measurements I have for defining a Christian." So is it possible that he is really a believer, but he's going through a terrible time of confusion right now? I mean, it's possible. It will really depend on what happens where he's concerned going forward. Will he be like the prodigal son that will go out and come back again? We'll have to wait and see. I definitely think in the Christian community, we should pray for him and for his family, and if it is possible, for his restoration. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.